You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're talking Cardinals baseball today on this Friday, April 15th, with our Cardinals reporter, Jennifer Langosch. Jennifer, thank you for joining us as always. And what a difference a week makes, right, Jennifer? You know, last week we kind of amused ourselves with some of the panic by some Cardinals fans after their team got off to the 0-3 start, swept by the Pirates in Pittsburgh, and lo and behold, they reel off four straight wins, 5 of 6 entering their game tonight, this Friday night. But I think the most pleasant development in this six-game stretch has got to be the offense. They scored in double figures in three straight games, and they've scored no fewer than 7 runs in any of the 5 victories. Now, to be fair, the opposing pitching not off the charts, but this team is still swinging the bat extremely well. I don't think that anybody can deny that right now.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the last time we talked last Friday, the Cardinals were coming off a stretch in Pittsburgh in which they had 7 runs in 3 games. They followed that up with 41 runs in 4 games. At one point, actually leading the majors in runs scored. So, yeah, I mean, the offense has clicked. I don't think we're going to expect, you know, an average of 7-run output for the rest of the year. But we've seen kind of the depth of this lineup show itself. We've also seen Mike Matheny very, forcing kind of new guys in and out. Brandon Moss getting some starts. Jeremy Haselbaker obviously still getting some starts. Just trying to utilize his bench in a way that the Cardinals couldn't last year because they didn't have as much firepower off of it. As you mentioned, of course, the opponents, not that heavy. Of course, you know, the Braves first swept in Atlanta and then Milwaukee visiting in Cincinnati this weekend. But, of course, this all leads up to next week's big series against the Chicago Cubs. So any positive traction that this offense can get, they'd certainly like to take that momentum into next week.
Yeah, no question. As the saying goes, you can only play who's on the schedule. And that's what the Cardinals have done. They've made the most of it. And like you said, that series against the Cubs beginning Monday looming large. But still a little bit of work to be done before we get there. Jennifer, on the pitching end of things, you know, it's funny. We spent the last few weeks, you know, talking about Adam Wainwright. Could he return to form? We talk about Mike Leake. How would he fit in with his new club? We talk about Carlos Martinez. Could he make that leap to stardom? All the while, here's Jaime Garcia kind of in the corner saying, hey, guys, I'm over here. One hitter yesterday, career-high 13 Ks. First shutout since 2011, statistically the best performance of his 8-year career. You know, it's unfair to expect a performance like that from any pitcher every time out, unless their last name happens to be Kershaw maybe. But, you know, what was it that made him so effective yesterday in that career-defining performance?
You know, it's funny because my 5 years on this beat, you have always heard players, teammates, scouts, front office describe Jaime Garcia as having no-hit stuff. You know, this idea that anytime he goes out, he can throw a no-hitter. Obviously, I guess that's true for every pitcher that takes the mound, but just the unique movement that he has, it's really, really hard for hitters to pick up, and Milwaukee had an especially hard time yesterday. So he worked really heavily off that sinker changeup mix, just moving it around. You know, I thought it was really unique for him, just the fact that he had 13 strikeouts, which is a career high. This is a guy who induces a lot of ground ball outs. You know, he kind of lives with the early contact, the efficiency, but to be as efficient as he was while notching 13 strikeouts and 13 ground ball outs, just a special outing for him. Let's not forget, too, that a year ago, I don't think any of us actually anticipated that Jaime Garcia would still be in a Cardinals uniform right now. I mean, he was coming back from another shoulder injury, was on the DL at this time last year. The Cardinals, of course, then watched him come back, make 20 really impressive starts last regular season, picked up his option at the end of October, and now, you know, have him kind of penciled in as a number 4 starter, but certainly with the potential to be more like a number 1 or number 2 in this rotation. So, yeah, I mean, he was kind of at his best yesterday, but again, it all has to do with that deceptive movement that he has on his pitches, something that the Cardinals often describe as natural movement, but something that Jaime really believes, you know, he worked hard in the minors to develop, puts a lot of different pressure on his pitches, and, you know, we saw it kind of come to fruition yesterday, and as you mentioned, the best start of his career.
Yeah, sure did. He was absolutely lights out yesterday for 9 innings. I believe he took a no-no into the 6th, where he gave up his only hit of the game. I know every pitcher's different when you carry a no-hitter into that stage, into the middle innings. You know, some guys it's on their mind, other guys block it out. What about him? Did he admit, you know, yeah, I was kind of thinking about it, or did it really not register with him?
He contends that he had no idea he had a no-hitter, which we can debate whether that's probably true or not. But I can tell you, Jaime is ultra-focused, and he focuses pitch-to-pitch, start-to-start. So, you know, he is the type of guy that probably blocks almost everything else out. He also joked afterwards that he is not somebody who players talk to during a start anyway. He just kind of likes to keep to himself. So this whole idea of, you know, once you get into the middle of the game without allowing a hit that your rest of your teammates kind of slide to the other end of the dugout, they already do with him anyway. So there was no kind of change in the dugout there. But now, I mean, he really, really believes that to be at his best, he has to kind of focus on that pitch to pitch and have that mentality. And, you know, because of that, really didn't concern himself with how many hits were on the scoreboard. Again, he also, I asked him afterwards if the 13 strikeout surprised him, and he looked at me and said, I didn't even know I had 13. So it kind of tells you the kind of the micro way in which he looked at his start instead of focusing on maybe all the numbers that we do.
Yeah, some guys just have that laser focus where they're not aware how good they were until they get read the box score after the game. He certainly sounds like one of those. On the flip side of things, the Cardinals' lone loss in their last six games occurred on Wednesday. They fell to the Brewers 6-4, and Trevor Rosenthal gave up the tie-breaking homer in the ninth. That proved to be the difference, and you wrote how he's hurt himself on a few occasions with a high pitch counts, which is very uncharacteristic for him. Are we talking merely an early season struggle, a little blip here, or something perhaps more problematic?
Yeah, I mean, small sample size certainly at this time of the year, but I think something to kind of watch moving forward. You look at Trevor Rosenthal and his evolution as a closer. You know, 2 years ago, we saw him get into a lot of trouble with deep counts, allowing the first runner in particular to reach base against him almost 40% of the time. He really corrected that last year. It's one of the reasons why he had so much success. Great efficiency, and it also allowed him then to bounce back and pitch on back-to-back days or three consecutive days and so on. I looked back at his season last year. He had one outing of 30 or more pitches. He already has two such outings so far in 2 weeks this season, the one in Atlanta over the weekend and the one most recently in Milwaukee when he took the loss. So, yeah, a little surprised to see him with the long counts. It looked like he was nibbling a little bit on Wednesday, unable to kind of get that fastball over. And, you know, when he doesn't have that fastball command, it really kind of eliminates his ability to utilize the secondary pitches that he's worked very hard to become a big part of his repertoire. So, yeah, small sample size for sure, but a little bit of an early season concern for the Cardinals, who really felt that he had come very far with his efficiency.
Yeah, like you said, small sample size, and he's got enough of a track record, I think, to where fans, obviously you're going to be concerned, but maybe not overly concerned, given what he's done the past few years in that role for the Cardinals. And I think Mike Matheny says something like, hey, this stuff's hard. You know, it's easy to forget because these guys, they're professionals and they're talented. They make it look so easy, but even a guy as talented as Trevor Rosenthal, they can struggle. And he said, you know what, this is all part of the game, part of the ups and downs, and hopefully Rosenthal will bounce back. And like you said, not a lot of concerns the past week, but that is one of them. We'll see how that develops moving forward. Jennifer, we have to get our weekly Jeremy Hazelbaker updates. You know, I've just been enamored with this guy since spring training, the ridiculous spring he had. And as of this discussion, if they hand out hardware today, he would win the batting crown with a major league leading average of .481, OPS just below 1,500. He's going to cool off and maybe finish the season around, I don't know, .440, .450. I think that's reasonable. But, you know, how much fun is this guy having right now when you talk to him? He's living the dream as, you know, a rookie at age 28. How great is this for him right now?
Yeah, I mean, when you're 28 years old and you have had over 700 minor league games waiting for this opportunity, and you talk about kind of seizing an opportunity, I mean, he has done just that, not just making this major league roster, but making this lineup as an everyday player and as the team's right now two hole hitter. So I thought it was really interesting this week in talking to general manager John Mozeliak, and we asked him, you know, what did you see in Jeremy Hazelbaker last year after the Dodgers double A player released Hazelbaker? And Mo looked and laughed and said, you know, we just needed depth at double A. We had so many injured outfielders. He was available. He needed a job, so it fit. They never at that time envisioned him contributing at the major league level. Of course, Hazelbaker goes there and hits over 300, gets promoted to triple A, continues to crush the ball there, does so again this spring, and has certainly taken it into the season so far. So, yeah, I mean, he's riding this wave. But again, for somebody who toiled so long in the minor leagues and just a year ago wondered if his time in professional baseball was over, it's fun to have a story like that. We talk so much about the top draft picks and the guys who are destined to make it. To see somebody who overcame so much taking advantage of this, it's been fun. And we'll see if he can continue to be in that lineup. So we'll see how much he can take advantage of that.
Yeah, as much hype and notoriety as Trevor Story has gotten with the Rockies, and deservedly so, this is a story that should not be ignored by any means, what Jeremy Hazelbaker is doing in that Cardinal lineup. Has there been a veteran that's kind of taken him under their wing? You know, a lot of veterans on this team. Has there been a guy that he's kind of buddied up to kind of start learning the ropes and to have the success?
No, I'm not so sure. I mean, Matt Holliday, to some extent, fellow outfielder, and Matt kind of becomes a mentor to many people in that clubhouse. But, you know, I think the fact that Jeremy has been in professional baseball, albeit at a different level for so long, he kind of gets it. He's not your prototypical young rookie in the same way that maybe like a Randall Grichuk and Stephen Piscotty were when they came up for the first time. So Hazel Baker, yeah, he's embracing it. But I would say probably Holliday, you know, along those lines, probably the most to kind of take him under his wing.
And Jennifer, just to wrap up here in the final minute or two, I remember covering during spring training, you know, Adam Wainwright was very vocal in saying, you know what, I'm tired of talking about the Cubs. You know, they've had all this hype during the offseason and, you know, the World Series favorites, and he was tired of hearing about them, tired of talking about them. Well, lo and behold, I believe they're losing right now as we speak, but they enter the day 8-1. A huge three-game series looming beginning on Monday night. Are the questions starting to come about the Cubs again? Has it been quiet on that front? What's your take there?
Yeah, I mean, the questions really haven't gone away. I mean, especially as new media kind of filters in and out of St. Louis right now, I mean, the questions about the Cubs are going to persist, and they're going to persist until the Cardinals show that they can knock the Cubs off that top spot. So, huge series upcoming this week. You know, Jason Hayward's return to Busch Stadium will obviously be a storyline. Interesting the way some of the matchups line up. Mike Leake will be pitching that first game of the series. He has had two subpar starts so far to start his Cardinals career. This would be a great time. The Cardinals would love to see him kind of pick it up and maybe pitch a little bit more like they expect him to be. Obviously, Jaime Garcia and Carlos Martinez will then round out the rotation next week. So, you know, all this talk is fun, and we certainly enjoy it as writers and kind of building it up. But ultimately, it's going to come down to whether the Cardinals can beat the Cubs on the field. And this will be the first three of 19 games between these two teams. And I would imagine it's going to be a pretty spirited environment at Busch Stadium next week.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. It's got an October feel to a series in mid-April. I mean, that's just – it's off the charts. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch beginning on Monday night between the two top dogs in many people's eyes in the NL Central. Jennifer, we thank you as always for the time. That's Jennifer Langosch, Cardinals reporter, joining us here on MLB.com Extras, St. Louis Cardinals.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.